1:1. Today, Bob reading is taken from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, maybe verses 6 through 12. That's Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 6 through 12. And it reads, "Better a handful with quietness than both hands full, together with toil and grasping for the wind. Then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone without companion. He has neither son nor brother, yet there is no end to all his labor. Nor is his eye satisfied with riches, but he never asks. For whom do I toil and deprive myself of glory? This also is vanity and a great misfortune. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls. He has neither no one to help him up again. If two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and threefold cord is not quickly broken." This ends the Bible reading.
Amen.
Welcome you to the Leicester Church of Christ, and we thank God for this day and the privilege and opportunity to be here. Dear Leicester, for those of you who may be visiting with us today, we want to extend our warmest welcome to you. There we go. Praise God. To encourage and invite you to come back as often as you can. Good to see Sister Candace with us this Wednesday as well. This morning our scripture text is taken from the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. The book of Ecclesiastes is found in the section of the Old Testament scripture we call Wisdom Literature. Wisdom Literature includes Proverbs as well, and also the writer who many believe is Solomon himself, a wise man, has written this book. Let's look, if you will, again, to center our thoughts. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning verse number 6. The writer says, "Better a handful with quietness than both hands full, together with the toil and grasping for the wind. Then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is none alone without companion. He has neither son nor brother, yet there is no end to all his labors, nor is his eye satisfied with riches, for he never asks, 'For whom do I toil and deprive myself of glory?' This also is vanity and a great misfortune." Verse number 9 says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. Or go to him who is alone when he falls. For he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone?" Verse 12 says, "Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." It is from verse number 12. A threefold cord strand is not easily broken. They extract the title from today's message, which is Braided Together. Braided Together. I want to begin by sort of giving an overview of the book of Ecclesiastes. In my research and study, this word Ecclesiastes is an interesting word. In the Greek, we get the word ekklesia, which we know as a church or a congregational assembly, and it simply means, in this context, a preacher. But in the Latin, the word Ecclesiastes simply means a speaker before an assembly. And by way of introduction today, the story is told of a friend who was given a house plant. The name of the plant is the Parchera aquatica tree that lived for over 40 years. It grew tall and much like the picture in this illustration here. Over time, the wiggly leaves had caused all the three stalks to curve downward towards the floor. And to straighten this tree back up, a wedge was put on the plant's pot, and it was placed there in the window so that sunlight could draw the leaves upward again and help cure the plant's bare posture. And so the aim of today's lesson, as we go through, is to consider the value of friendship. To consider the value of friendship, togetherness, especially with God. As we begin 2024, this is the time of year that many are looking to make resolutions, perhaps reset and refocus themselves. But I want us to begin. This is my first opportunity to stand in this pulpit this year, 2024. To help us to consider some things that we can do to change our thinking, perhaps with regard to how we can work closer together and the value of partnership even with God. So here is a Pachyra aquatica tree. This is a popular ornamental tree in Japan. It is commonly known or commonly grown as a houseplant, and it can grow up to 60 feet. It was 60 feet in the wild. This is a cultivated plant itself. So, in the text, the benefits of a friend and togetherness, especially with God, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 6 through 12. The writer wants you and I to understand four points of the value of a partnership or friendship, especially with God. Number one, we're going to look at the value of partnership in our work in verses 6 through 8 of the text. Secondly, we'll look at the value of friendship and partnership in weakness in verses 9 and 10. And then the value of partnership when it comes to warmth in verse number 11. And then finally, the value of partnership in warfare. All of us, every last one of us, will be challenged in all four of these areas constantly and sometimes on a day-to-day basis. And if your last week was like my last week, it was very challenging in many ways. You can hear it in my voice. I may be physically, I was not well and still trying to get better. Praise God, I'm here today. And not even Satan could stop me from being here today. So we thank God for God's grace and His mercy. So let's get into the text. Bring it together, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. When it comes to work, the writer says, better a handful with quietness than both hands fall together with toil and grasping for the wind. He says that I returned and saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone without companion. He has neither son nor brother. In other words, he has no heir. He has no someone to leave his inheritance to. Yet there is no end to all his labors. Nor is his eye satisfied with riches. But he never asks a question. For whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is vanity and a great misfortune. All of us have life. All of us have a life, and the Bible says to everything there is a season. There is a time to be born, and there is a time to die. But all of us have to work. But who are we working for, and what is the point of all this working, is what the writer of Ecclesiastes asks. Because those who strive for success must also strive for companionship and contentment. I do not believe that God created man in the book of Genesis for us to work ourselves to death. I do not believe that God created man to simply go to school, get an education, go out to work, and kill ourselves in the process. And so when it comes to work, he says, better a handful with quietness than both hands full together with toil and grasping for wind. The word vanity is quoted over and over in the book of Ecclesiastes. In other words, trying to grasp the wind. And so, what are we to learn? Because all human effort and pursuit without God is vanity, in other words, grasping or uselessness, grasping for the wind. Jesus himself addressed this issue in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27 when it comes to toil. He says that Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And look at verse number 26, here's the question. When it comes to work, for what profit is a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Ah, we've got billionaires coming out of our ears, even in the nation of India. One of the fastest growing economies in the world today, there's a billionaire being created almost every day in that nation. But so greater poverty as well in that great country. But he says, for what profit is to a man if he gains and works and gains the whole world, and in the process, he loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For, verse 27 says, the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels. What are they going to be doing? They're coming to do some work. After you work, the Son will work, and then he will reward each, he says, according to his works. So, the Bible also says in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, Paul says to the church in Ephesus, Paul, we the church, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. What for? See, if you've been here long enough, you don't remember this. God is the one who worked first. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. What for? For good works, which God prepared beforehand. What for? So that we should walk or make our lifestyle in vain. God works so that we can work for him, not that we can work for ourselves. And so, in the end, in the final analysis, all of us will have a reward for all this toil. And the writer in Ecclesiastes talks about the vanity of work. We're working from sun up to sun down. He saw the vanity under the sun. There is one alone without companionship. He says, for he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? We put up all this money in a bank account. Save up for retirement that we may never see. And who are we working for? And the writer of Ecclesiastes suggests this, that even all this stuff we leave behind, the people that we're leaving it behind for may not even value it. Isn't that interesting? The bed that you sleep in, the bed that you slept in last night, somebody else is going to sleep in that bed. The car that you drove over here this morning, somebody else is going to drive your car. Somebody else is going to spend your money. Somebody else is going to get rid of all that good junk that you've been toiling for. Amen. Isn't it interesting? You ever notice that when a funeral comes, the casket is the only thing they take down to the cemetery? Huh? They don't take all your good china, all that stuff you've been saving up for years and years and years. They're not taking it with you. All that you've been working for, he said. Vanity of vanity, for all is vanity. Therefore, God through Christ worked for us so that we could do good work with and for him. That's the point. Secondly, he talks about weakness. He says, for two are better than one, because they have a great reward for their labor. In verse number 9, in verse 10 says, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. What will to him who is alone when he falls? For he has no one to help him up. His so-called valuable friend is known when we are weak. I work in banking. And we have a section of the bank, it's what we call for vulnerable customers. Vulnerable customers. Here is an elderly customer. They've called in to say, I need to be able to transfer some money from this place to this place. But they don't have enough security. They can't create the level or achieve the level of security to get that transaction done. And then I ask the question, ma'am, sir, do you have anyone that they can help you? A son, a daughter, a family member? I don't trust anybody. That's what they tell you. I don't trust anybody. Or I don't have anybody. All that work, all this, they've got £100,000 in the bank. Well, that's of no use to them. Because they have no one to help them. The value of a friend is when we're weak, just like this plant. Every last one of us, we're going to be weak at some point. We're going to have a need. Amen. You're not going to be as fit and trim. Amen. Be able to lift up both legs and do what you are doing right now. Each of us will struggle alone, especially during our struggles. Maybe you're struggling with something right now. You know, we can come to church on Sunday morning and we can smile and pretend like everything's okay, but deep down inside, we got trouble. We've got trouble. Troublesome times are here, filling man's heart with fear. However, God created us for community. He said, for two are better than one, because they have a reward for the labor. For if they fall, I want to suggest when we fall, one will lift up his companion. Husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, God created us for community. No man is an island. No one can say that I don't need somebody. You need somebody to bring you into the world, and you're going to need somebody to take you out of here. Amen. You may bore yourself, and you can bury yourself. That's the truth. But the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, he says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, what are you talking about? Sometimes life can overwhelm us. Sometimes you can get caught up in a situation and you cannot see a way out. If our brother is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, what are you to do? Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself. In other words, listen, you could be in that same scene. Just because you may be stronger in one area than I am and vice versa, that doesn't mean that every once in a while I might need some help and you might need some help too. But you may find yourself in that same scene. In a spirit of gentleness, he says, lest you yourself also be tempted. Verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens. That means simply to come alongside when I'm weak. Here I am trying to shoulder this burden all by myself, and I say, brother or sister, you need some help. Let me help you with that. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Great will be the day when we put this into practice. And again, it says, for woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Just like that plant. Amen. You got a plant at home, sometimes you forget to warm it, you don't see it. It's just, oh my goodness, I've got to put some water in that plant. And a few, 10, 15 minutes later, that plant just comes right on back up. But that's us. See, the plant can't get the water for itself. You and I need some help from an external source. He says, bear ye one another's burdens. Number one. In warmth. The scripture says, again, if two lie down together, They will keep warm. But how can one be warm? Oh, look, and listen. Last week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I mean, it was cool. Amen. And thank God for the heat. Thank God for the house. Thank God for warmth. Jesus sent out the 70 to find warmth in whatever household they would receive them in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. Why did Jesus send them out 2 by 2? Because another human being changes the equation. It's always good when brothers and sisters travel together. Amen. The Bible says by the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses that every word be accepted. God created us for community, but also for warmth. We can have warm fellowship. Amen. Warm hospitality. But you know what our problem is? Brother Lucky mentioned today about in this country. Listen, I wasn't born here. But I believe, here's what I believe, Brother Lucky and church, that you and I have an opportunity to change the environment that we find ourselves in. Amen. Just because folk are cold, that means you're going to be warm. Amen. You're going to treat folk like the way you want to be treated. So order your job, good morning, and then I have to say good morning back. I'm going to still say good morning. I'm going to get my warm handshake. I'm going to treat them just like Jesus. But how can one be warm alone? Not self. You see, I take the emphasis off of self. Now self is the only issue and focus. Now the focus and effect of the fallen weaknesses are reduced. Because listen, companionship and community trump isolation and self. Amen. I'm so glad that God has given us relationship. Listen, if COVID taught us nothing else, it was that we need one another. Amen. What did you learn from COVID? A warm hug, a warm handshake, some fellowship. I miss you. Well, what you missed before? Because you treat me the same way after COVID that you did before COVID. Amen. We ought to be a little bit different in church. But some of us have gone right back to that same mindset. The Lord took millions around the world, but He saw fit to save us. What did we learn and what have we changed? Huh? 2024 is a new year. And so, church, even Jesus had an inner circle. You remember Peter, James, and John? And you remember when God sent animals into the ark, He did so to provide warmth and companionship for like animals. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 18 to 22, the Bible says, God said, "Well, I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you, what for companionship. And every living thing of all flesh you shall bring, two of every sort, into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind, of the animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come into you to keep them alive." Verse 21 says, "And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and and it shall be food for you and for them." And the Bible says, "Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so did he." No doubt, you go to a strange or when you go to an unfamiliar place. When I lived in Texas, where Brother Paul is right now, I want to tell you something. Texas is a vast place. And you won't know vastness until you've been to a place like that. But you can go to certain parts of Texas and you can turn around 360 degrees and all you see is land. And not a house in sight. Huh? That is so. But God created us for relationship. And you know, every once in a while I would just drive over to Walmart just to see folks.
Hey man, just a seafood. Yeah, but we take one another for granted in here. Hey man, how often do we see each other? How often do we communicate with each other face to face? Warmth is what God wants. And then number four, warfare. Warfare. Verse 12 says, though they may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's unity. Unity. Amen. And so, we will each face spiritual battles. But God did not intend that we face those battles alone. No, 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 sir, no, man. You remember God sent Aaron and Moses in Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 10. He also sent Paul and Barnabas in the book of Acts in their evangelistic efforts. And God also gave us the one another assignments. We read one of those in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Is it still there? Let's see if it's still there. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Girls eat popcorn. Galatians, that's all you remember there. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us to go to all, especially to those of the household of faith. And so, warfare. Now we are in a spiritual battle. But we must also dress for that spiritual battle, the hoop and pull in the whole armor of God. Did you get dressed up this morning? Did you bring your soul? Did you bring your soul? Huh? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Pull on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't fight people. If you are fighting before an enemy that you can see, that's not the real enemy. Did you know that? Huh? You're fighting with folk on your job, that's not the real enemy. You're fighting with folk in your hustle, that's not the real enemy. You're fighting with folk, your neighbors, that is not the real enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, the Bible says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I was watching, just reading the news yesterday, and most of us know that there is a war going on in Israel and Palestine. And they say that the Israeli army have bulldozed over the graves of the Palestinians in order to park their vehicles in some places. Now, that's just a special type of evil, church. Not even the dead. Not even the dead are safe. When we will trample on one another's rights. And so, that will cause people to hate people. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He says, listen now. He says in verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your waist girded with truth. You need truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that's right living. And having sharpened your feet for the preparation of the gospel of peace, we must be sure-footed to be peacemakers. Huh? On your job, will you be a peacemaker? When folk are acting the fool, will you be a peacemaker when all around is chaos, or will you add to the chaos? And he says, above all, taking the shield of faith. What for? With which you are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation. You know why it's a helmet of salvation? Because Satan works on our minds. Satan comes to church, when we come to church, you know what Satan says when you come to church? You go home to sleep, because you already heard this before, you already knew this. Don't worry about what he said, we can work this out tomorrow. You've got time. Satan is the father of lies. And every sin begins with someone. Every sin begins with a lie that either we have told ourselves or that we have believed. I deserve. Nobody wants me. This is not going to work out. It's useless. That's a lie. That's a lie. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. So you've got to replace Satan's lie with God's truth. But you've got to have that helmet of salvation on your head. And what else do we need? We need the sword of the Spirit. This is your sword. Someone asks a question. If you were halfway to church and remembered that you hadn't turned off the lights, would you turn around and turn the lights off? Now maybe I won't. If you were halfway to church and remembered you forgot your mobile phone, would you turn around and get it? Oh yes, because I might miss a call. If you were halfway to church and forgot that you left your sword at home, would you turn around and get it? Some of them don't know that because they've got Bibles at the building. Listen, this is your sword. This is your sword. You cannot fight Satan by yourself. The value of partnership is, but you've got to know how to use this sword. And you've got to use the sword. Somebody once said that a Bible that's falling apart indicates a Christian that's not falling apart. And you've got some folk got some pristine Bibles. You don't want a pristine because perhaps we're not using them. Amen. It's not relevant. And so put on the whole armor of God and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, like the houseplant, marriages and friendships all require constant nurturing. Tending to these relationships involves merging or braiding spiritually so that God is present and at the center of each important bond. There are no perfect marriages. There are no perfect families. There are no perfect jobs. There are no perfect children. There's no perfect church. If you're looking for that, you're looking for the wrong thing. But we must become raised together. Just like plants need water, God must be present and at the center of every important bond. Because God created man for relationship from the beginning in the Garden of Eden. He has an endless supply of love and grace. These things we need to stay happily united or braided with one another. And so the writer of Ecclesiastes says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. The question is this. Will you allow God or work with God this year to become more braided together with Him? Will you begin to recommit yourself to doing things God's way? Because, listen, you cannot stand, just like a plant can't water itself and it cannot stand by itself. All of us need somebody and all of us need Jesus. I'm learning that more and more. I must tell somebody about Jesus, but I'm more giving more Jesus. The only thing better than Jesus is more Jesus. And so, four things we talked about today. We talked about in this lesson the value and benefit of friends and together, especially with God in our work, during our weaknesses, the value in warmth, and finally in warfare. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, and it's afternoon now, and you're not a Christian, you can become bringing together with God. You may have come here alone, but you don't have to leave alone. You must first of all hear the word of God That's Romans 10:17. You must secondly believe that Jesus is the only one to save you from your sins. That's John 3:16. You must repent of your sins. That's Luke 13:3-5. You must confess Jesus as Lord. That's Romans 10:9-10. And number five, and finally, you must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. That's Acts 22:16, Mark 16:15-16, and Acts 2:38. And if you do those things, God promises to wipe away all of your sin, to give you a new name, to add you to His church, that you might walk in newness of life. For those of us who are Christians, don't wait until tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised to any of us. We have today an opportunity to become great together with God. If you're here and you need prayer, if you're like me, you're struggling. Lord, I need some help. I can't do this by myself. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better citizen of the kingdom. I want to be better me today than I was yesterday. And with Jesus' help and God's wisdom, I can do better today than I did yesterday. If you need prayer today, or you just want to give God thanks, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.